We sang a carol that was based on Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 8 and following. Let me read a few verses from that section to you, where Luke records for us that in that region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Let's bow in prayer. Our Father God, we do thank you for this day in which we can celebrate the birth of your Son in Bethlehem almost 2,000 years ago or thereabouts. Lord, we thank you that 2,000 years on there is relevance in this story for us. It is not a fairy story that we recite to our children. It is not a myth from a different age and a different culture. This is a reality that affects people around the world today. And we thank you that it has affected many of our lives here this morning, and that we are gathered here today in order to celebrate the birth of this baby. And as we spend a few moments now thinking about this great topic, we pray that you would bless us with minds that are alert and able to understand what you have to say to us. We pray that we would not be distracted by all the other things that happen on this day, all the giving of gifts and the receiving of gifts and the food and the celebrations and the time with family and friends and all of those good things. Lord, we pray that they would not distract us from the best thing, which is to contemplate the birth of our Saviour and all that we have because of him. So we pray that you would bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, about 2,000 years ago, hope was announced to the world. Angels came to those shepherds on the hillside outside Bethlehem and said, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And there, to those humble men who were looking after their sheep on that hillside, this message of good news was announced. It was a message that came to them as they went about their usual routine. No doubt there was nothing particularly significant about that night for them. They'd done the same thing year after year, decade after decade perhaps. They're looking after their sheep, making sure no wild animals came to scatter the flock, making sure that no thieves would come in and steal their property. And there they were on this particular night, and suddenly that night became a memorable night for them. We're told that the shepherds, when they had gone to see if what the angels had said was true, they returned to the hillside, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And no doubt for years after that, they would look back to that event and tell the story of how, as they were shepherding their sheep, angels came and spoke to them of this good news. 200 years ago, on this very day, in the Bay of Islands in the northern part of New Zealand, Samuel Marsden stood before a crowd of people, mostly Maori, who had gathered to hear a message of hope. A message of good news, the same good news that the shepherds had heard on that mountainside outside Bethlehem. Samuel Marsden took as his text the 10th verse of the 2nd chapter of Luke's Gospel. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." It was news that was good for New Zealand. It was news that was good for the Maori that were gathered there on that beach to hear Samuel Marsden preach to them. He was a herald of good news, just as those angels had been heralds of good news. And today, this same hope is being proclaimed. This same good news is being proclaimed all around the world. On this day, people will gather in different countries, speaking different languages, wearing different clothes, all to hear the same message of good news and to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Because this message of hope, this message of good news is centered in him, in this person, or as we think of it this time of the year, in this baby born in Bethlehem and laid to rest in a manger, in a feeding trough for the animals. A message of hope that has encircled the globe and has affected the lives of millions and millions and millions of people is centered upon the birth of this baby in Bethlehem, this Saviour who was to come into the world. And there are two things that I want to say to you about Jesus. And the first is this, that Jesus himself was a messenger. Jesus himself was a herald of good news. Jesus himself came to preach the gospel, to preach good news for people in need. Jesus described himself as a doctor in chapter 5 and in verse 31 of this gospel. He said to the Pharisees, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And Jesus went about town after town and village after village, preaching a message of repentance. He called people to turn from their sins and to believe in him, because he came as a preacher, as a herald, to those who were lost in their sins, to those who were bowed down under the weight of their guilt, their consciences pricking them because they were living lives that were not good, were not just, were not holy, were not pure. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, I've come to bring this message to those who are sick in their souls, sick in their hearts. There were many people in Jesus' day who didn't think that they were sick, and the Pharisees were among them. They thought that they were healthy people. They thought that they were good people. They thought that they were righteous people. And they didn't like the message that Jesus was preaching. They didn't think that that message was good news because, well, they were well. They didn't need a doctor. They didn't need someone to come and tell them that their sins could be forgiven. What sins? They had no sins. They kept the law. They fasted at the right times. They kept all of the various feasts at their appropriate time and season in the year. They had no need of this good news. Jesus went about preaching to those who did sense that they needed this good news. People who were hungering, people who were thirsting for righteousness, knowing that they had no righteousness themselves. Jesus came as a preacher of good news. He came to say, the day has come when your hunger can be satisfied. The day has come when your sins can be forgiven. They can be washed away, though they are red like crimson. They can be made as white as snow. The day has come when there can be reconciliation, peace between God and men. And Jesus came then to sinners, not to the righteous. He came to bring good news, a message of hope, to those who realized their need, not to those who thought that they were okay and safe. Jesus came to preach the gospel, to preach good news. So that's the first thing I want you to realize about that baby that was born there in Bethlehem. He came as a preacher. But the second thing that I want you to know is that Jesus didn't just come as a preacher. He wasn't just a messenger. He wasn't just a herald. Those angels who came and met the shepherds on the hillside outside Bethlehem, they were just messengers. They came and they sang that song, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." God has come to this world. God has come in this baby in Bethlehem. He has come to bring peace to this world. This is the message that the angels proclaimed. But it was only a message. It was good news, but it was only news. And they directed the shepherds to the baby in Bethlehem, but they could do no more than that. And there they were told they would find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. What an unusual place to find a baby, any baby. But what a most unusual place to find a baby who would be a saviour, a deliverer, who would be a king and a victor. Because this baby that was born wasn't just destined to be a herald, to be a messenger, to be a preacher. He came to make the message a reality. He came to accomplish that which was being proclaimed. Peace to the world! Well, how can there be peace in this world? There have been many people who had proclaimed peace, peace, where there is no peace, the Old Testament tells us. So many people had gone through the world and had said, you can have joy, you can have happiness, you can have satisfaction, you can have fulfillment in this way, or in that way, or in the other way. And they proclaim this message, but they cannot guarantee peace. They cannot guarantee reconciliation with God. They cannot guarantee the removal of sins and the satisfaction of the justice of God. They only proclaim a message. And in many ways the angels could do no more, though their message was a true message. Their words couldn't accomplish peace. But Jesus came into the world not only to preach peace, but to provide peace. Not only to preach a message of hope, but to give the assurance of hope. Not only to proclaim a good news of sins forgiven and peace with God, but to actually provide the sacrifice that would atone for sin and give peace with God. Jesus himself, when he began his public ministry, went into the synagogue in Nazareth where he had grown up and lived most of his life. And he read from the scriptures in the book of Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Jesus came to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives, but more than that, to actually set the captives free. He sets people free who are bound in the chains of sin and cannot live a life that is pleasing to God. Jesus came into the world to set them free. He came to people who were blind, who couldn't see, who couldn't understand what God required of them and how they can give to God what he requires of them. And Jesus came to open their eyes so that they could see how they ought to live and how they would be able to live in a way that pleased God. Jesus came into the world to set free those who were oppressed. Jesus wasn't just a messenger. Samuel Marsden came 200 years ago and he preached a message of hope to the people gathered there in the Bay of Islands. And what a wonderful hope it was. And it was a hope that many of them believed in. And over the following decades, thousands and thousands of people around New Zealand became followers of Jesus Christ. Marsden preached the message And those who heard him took up that message and they carried it the length and breadth of New Zealand, and people heard and they believed the message, but it wasn't Samuel Marsden who could make the difference in the lives of these people. It was Jesus Christ who made the difference. It was he, by the power of his Spirit, who broke the shackles that held them in chains of sin and unblocked their eyes so that they could see through all the errors of their wrong beliefs and could understand that Jesus Christ is the Saviour of sinners and trust in him. Jesus came not only to preach a message of hope, but to ensure that that hope became a reality in the lives of people, as it is doing all around the world today. Millions of people have had their lives transformed. They have been given purpose to their existence. They've begun to understand that life isn't just a matter of 70 or 80, of 90 years of living, of routine, of waking and working and eating and sleeping and doing that day after day and year after year throughout life, and then it all comes to an end at death. And that's it. It's all a meaningless, empty vanity. Jesus and this message proclaims that there is purpose. There is meaning to our lives. That we were created in the image of God to serve and glorify God. And it is in fulfilling that purpose that we find the greatest satisfaction. Jesus came into this world to give meaning and purpose to our lives. He also came into this world to give direction to our lives. He came to teach us how we are to live. How can we live as the creatures of a great and glorious Creator in a way that pleases him? What are we to do? What priorities are to govern our lives? What choices are we to make in our lives? What things are we to resist and flee from? What things are we to pursue? Well, all of those questions are answered in Jesus Christ and in his word, in the message that he proclaimed and the message that he lived out himself, putting God as the focus of his life and the glory of God as the aim of his existence. Jesus came then to proclaim that message and to provide us with the ability to respond to that message in obedience and in faith. Jesus came into this world to tell us that the grave no longer is something to be feared. That death isn't something to hold us in terror. Jesus came into the world to tell us that there was life beyond the grave and a life that was worth reaching out for. An existence that would be so wonderful that every trial and every trouble and every pain and every tear that we shed in this life will all fade away as inconsequential when we enter into the wonderful life that God is preparing for those who trust in Jesus. That was the message that he proclaimed. And he gave his life in a sacrifice upon a cross outside Jerusalem. 3.5 years after his birth, after he began his public ministry of proclaiming that he was the Saviour of sinners, he gave his life so that we would be freed from death. Oh, we still have to die physically, certainly. There is still that river to cross. But when we cross that river, we enter into paradise. We enter into a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells, where sin is eliminated forever. We can hardly begin to imagine what that must be like. We live in a world that is surrounded by sin. Our lives are filled with sin. We cannot get away, escape from the reality of sin all around us. What it must be like to live in a place where there is no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more death. And where God smiles upon us constantly. Well, Jesus has preached the message and he has provided a way that we can have this hope that goes beyond the grave. Now, it's interesting that when Jesus quoted from Isaiah in these verses I've just read to you from Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, he stops mid-sentence. to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, Isaiah went on to say, and the day of vengeance of our God. Our God is a just God. Our God is a holy God. Our God is a God who hates sin. And because of his own holiness and his own justice, he must bring sin to justice. And therefore there is a day of vengeance. There is a day of judgment that lies before us all. But Jesus' focus when he came the first time was to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. It wasn't a day of judgment, it was a day of grace. It wasn't a day in which God's holiness must bring damnation to rebellious souls. It was a day in which God's mercy reached out to humanity and said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. This is a day of hope. This is a day of salvation. But there is coming a day of judgment. Jesus came into the world to save us from the day of judgment. And we need to believe in him today to escape that day of judgment. It's another day, but it's a day that is coming. And until that day, there is a day of hope. A message of hope is being proclaimed. The offer is of peace is being proclaimed. Come, sinner. Come, you who stand under the judgment of God. Come to him today and ask for his forgiveness and find peace with him. That is the message that is being proclaimed today. And all who turn from their sins and trust in this year of God's favour and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who was born in Bethlehem to preach the gospel and to make the gospel a reality, they will all be saved. Saved from captivity to sin. Saved from the blindness of a purposeless living. Saved from the judgment to come. This is what the angels proclaimed outside Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. This is what Samuel Marsden proclaimed in the Bay of Islands 200 years ago today. And today, this day, the same message is being proclaimed. Be saved from the judgment that is to come. Trust in Jesus. And this is why Christmas is special, isn't it? This is why we remember the coming of God's Son. He came as an ambassador, a herald, a preacher of a wonderful message. But he did more than preach it. He made it possible. He performed the incredible work. He gave his own life as a sacrifice for sins. He bore the judgment of God that we deserved in his own body. If you will come to him and trust in him, your sins will be taken away. You will be made perfect and righteous before a holy God. We proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Will you come to him? And will you rejoice in God your Saviour with us today?